Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here one more day with our special guest this week, Albert Fada. Albert is a good friend, a member of our parish here in Ann Arbor at Christ the King. I've known him for a long time, and he's been sharing this week just kind of his own spiritual journey. It began on Monday, just his own testimony of coming to know the Lord in a fresh way as a young eighth grade guy and living through lots of difficulties at the time, but encountered the living person of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and radically changed his life. And then we talked about his wonderful family. He and his wife, Becky, have 8 children, 2 grandchildren. Albert is now on the team with Father John Ricardo in Acts 29, which is at the moment bringing a real grace to the church and leadership in the church and helping the church come into deeper health as a family on mission we've been talking about this week. So if you haven't had a chance to hear what Albert's had to say, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs, they're archived there. You could just listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. Same at Ave Maria Radio. So welcome back, Albert.
Peter, it's been a great week.
Really thankful you've given us the time. I really appreciate it. And so we talked about some key principles that you have touched on that Acts 29 is bringing to, really felt like you've received it from the Lord and deeply praying together and hearing and what's the Lord's priority, and you've brought that to the work that you're doing. Could you just summarize some of those key points? Because maybe today some of these folks are just listening for the first time.
Gladly, so. Yeah. At the heart of the work that we're blessed to do at Acts 29 is to give away what God has given to us. And what that is just this mindset renewal. Romans 12:2 is the best way to summarize the work that God has entrusted to us. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you can discern God's will. And that's an important part. Yes, we need our minds renewed, but to what purpose? What's the in order to? So that we can know what it is that God's inviting us to do in this age. And with that transformation comes sort of 3 essential principles. We have to reacquire a biblical worldview. We have to recognize that our mission is to renew the human family and transform it into the family of God. And we have to restore the initiative to God. When we do all 3 of those things, mission becomes something that is the adventure that it is intended to be. And it is not just what we do, it's how we do it and who we get to do it with. And I'm just blessed to be on mission on Acts 29. Love my brothers and sisters on mission. It's a real gift.
Let me ask you this. What is restoring the initiative to God look like both in Acts 29? Like, how is that concretely expressed? And then how can we do that in our own personal lives?
So a couple of ways that gets concretely expressed, first of all, is that the plan is a plan until God changes it. And what that means is there needs to be a docility of the Spirit that says, we've been discerning, we think God is calling us to this. Perhaps we've even laminated the plan on a 4x5 card. And the Lord reveals something new. You know what you do? You burn the card. You tear the wall down. You print a new brochure. It doesn't matter. The call is always to be docile to what God has invited us to and being completely fine with saying, this is what we had thought we had discerned before. That's not what we're doing now. This has happened multiple times in Acts 29 in our mission, where we were originally thinking we were called primarily to work with a handful of parishes, and that developed really pretty quickly into working with many dioceses instead. So perhaps that's just one example of that. Mm-hmm. But that transformation is both personal and collective. And we've been blessed to witness that transformation happen in a variety of places throughout really the country that have left a mark. When we get a moment, I'd love to share some of those with you.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. In one's personal life, it kind of goes back to the identity question that you talked about. And part of the identity question is not only who does God say that I am, and step 2 of that is I come into agreement with who God knows me to be.
That's right.
Rather than the lies that the enemy speaks to us or my own sense of my own self-creation and all of that, I come wholeheartedly into agreement with who he knows me to be. And that becomes like the foundation, so much the foundation for my life. And then to say, now, a part of that as well, I think, is answering the question, to whom do I belong? Mm-hmm. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I belong to God, so that not only as you guys did, as you shifted as the Lord said, you thought you were going to do A, you did A for a while, and then the Lord told you to do B. And it was clear because you guys discerned it. We as individuals have to give God that permission.
That's right.
My life belongs to you, Lord, and I'm living the adventure with you, and I'm making it my aim, as St. Paul says, to please you with my life. And so I don't just write the whole script of my life knowing everything I'm going to do and be and everything else, and then he signs off on it. You said something earlier in the week about we don't just make our plans and then pray for God's blessing on our plans, but we pray and listen for God's plan that we move in. Those are so transformational.
They're so radically different. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how have you seen, where have you seen transformation? I'd love to just hear just stories of how God has worked with you guys.
Yeah. Maybe two or three come to mind right away. The first one, we're blessed to do presbyteral retreats and take priests on retreat, pray with them. And that's just been a very privileged position to be in, to have that kind of a trust that you're able to be with and pray with priests. It's a real gift. I know that you have that experience, Peter. In one case, we were praying with an archbishop and who was a very good and strong leader. And this question of identity was significant. And he had made a vow as a young man that he would never father the way he had been fathered, which was one basically of achievement-based love. You do well, I love you. You don't do well, I don't love you. That was his experience growing up. Turns out, as an archbishop, that's exactly how he was treating his spiritual sons and his spiritual brothers. Mm-hmm. The good priests he loved and the ones that he didn't get along very well. And as we prayed with him, he had this sense of like, the Lord's revealed this to me. I don't love as the way I'm supposed to. I've made this unholy vow. And we know hurt people hurt people. The good news is healed people can heal people. And he was really debating, do I share this with 200 priests in a very vulnerable way? I've never talked about this in a public setting. And after prayerful consideration, he did. The healing the Lord has wrought in his life, the unleashing of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, by getting his identity more conformed, recognizing this is one of those deformations that the enemy had placed in his life, has been beautiful to watch. We're all works in process, but it's been fantastic to see the transformation in his archdiocese as a result. That's one. Another expression of this is how we come to decisions together. And we do these leadership immersives that are aimed primarily at bishops and their leadership teams, but also other heads of ministry and their leadership teams, et cetera. And we do these in our offices. At the end of it, one of the bishops that was with us a couple of months back said, what you've shared with us is really simple, but it's very, very hard. Because as you've pointed out, Peter, it's such a radical change to all of these habits about how we make decisions. But the bishop went on to say, now that we've tasted it, though, we can never go back. Because he recognized that the only way, you know, Acts 29 exists because God wants his world back. That's our mission. That's all of our mission. Acts 29 is everybody. It might be the name of our apostle, but this is work for all of us. And the only way that's going to happen is if we allow God to lead us, to give him the pen back of our lives and allow him to write the next chapter in our lives, as opposed to like saying, all right, Lord, this is the chapter I wrote. This is what I want the chapter to read. What can you do about it? Maybe on a more personal front, one of the ways that living out these principles and mindset renewal has changed is it's required of me a lot more vulnerability as a father and husband. And recognizing that I'm a father and husband not because I get it right all the time or I need to get it right all the time, but because that is who the Lord has asked me and invited me into being. And one of the very direct ways that that's translated is, I mentioned to you earlier this week that we would do annual family retreats. Well, one year we did what we tend to do at Acts 29. We just prayed with the question, what's the greatest impediment or wound in our family? And we prayed with our kids ranging from 30 to 11 at the time. And what the Lord revealed was very hard to hear, but it was very clear that it was from the Lord. And what he revealed was that the greatest wound in our family is our children didn't feel seen and known. And for a father who's made it his goal to be uber intentional about being family, imparting identity, living life together, to see that as the wound was very hard. And yet the Lord's brought beautiful healing as a result. So maybe those are just some quick examples of the kind of transformation that comes when living with these.
Actually, really beautiful stories. I really appreciate you sharing that. What has been your experience as you've, let's say, worked with a team, a diocesan team or a parish team or whatever, and they're with you all the way, and then pastor, the bishop, saying, but where do I start? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this sounds great.
That's great.
I just don't know how to, I don't even know how to start.
Yeah,
you know?
So we're blessed to, the way that we do this, and we recommend leaders and their teams to do this, is to really take four sets of questions to the Lord. And you ask the Lord very specific questions. The final question is, Lord, based on everything you've revealed, what are you asking us to do now? That's the final question. We don't have time right now for me to walk you through all the questions, and we're happy to share more at some other point. But it really is a question about restoring that initiative to the Lord and asking Him, Lord, where do you want us to start? Oftentimes, what the Lord reveals to pastors and their leadership teams, bishops and their leadership teams, is we need to pour time into each other, prayer with each other, much more than we do now. We have to change even our meeting cadence to allow for more of this time to be with one another.
It reminds me, recently, Bishop Scott McKeag and I were working with a bishop and a team of about 10 or 11 priests that he drew together, and he had asked us to come to present some things. And I said to him, what is on your heart? Like, what's in your heart? What are you longing for? And he had a variety. He had four things. He sent me an email that this is in my heart for these 3 days that we're together, rather than what are Peter and Bishop Scott thinking is the best idea of what to do, you know, or something. And the last one was, he said, help us to be able to learn how to be together before the Lord, as if in a moment where I, as a bishop, have a serious question I'm trying to bring to the Lord, and how can I gather some of my brothers where we can just be before the Lord and listen and have the freedom and learn how to hear the Lord together and to share that. So we ended up having a wonderful experience with him on that, but it's related. It's just kind of very related to what you're just saying.
That's
so
exactly
for him,
right.
It was part of, like, I have an idea, and I think I have a vision of where we're supposed to go over the next year, year and a half or something, or I have a specific question I'm putting before the Lord. But I need my brothers, I need my team to be able to listen to with me. I don't want to just get your advice right away.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Can we learn how to hear the Lord together? And you just said you did that as a family.
That's right. And it is actually much simpler.
Yeah.
It's just hard, and it requires a real vulnerability. And that's why healing is so important, understanding our identity is so important, so that we can step into these very vulnerable places, sharing what we hear in prayer. Not what we say in prayer, but what we hear in prayer is a very vulnerable and intimate thing to do. And that requires a tremendous amount of trust.
Yes. And that goes back to family. And then
that's
family
right.
goes back to identity.
That's
and
right.
it goes back to the Lord.
All it's
that.
All tied.
It's all tied together. Well, yeah. Albert, time has just flown by again. So really, thank you for your big yes to the Lord and how you're loving and serving God's people. And just pray, Lord, we just ask your blessing on Acts 29 just to multiply its work and its grace according to your will, and bless Albert and Becky and the beautiful tribe that you've given to them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, hope you can tune in next week. But until then, walk in your full identity as a daughter or son of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.